Sit down, sit down. Have a seat. Praise the Lord. Man. That was incredible. My goodness. Hey, if you're not excited about the things of God, something wrong with you. Amen. My soul. And this morning, I wore my ear mic to test it out. Liked it so much, I'm going to wear it again tonight. And all complaints can go to Brother Bell. And I told the congregation this morning that this is my mic. I've been wearing it for about 10 years. And so it's my, somebody said, am I going to dance tonight? No, I'll do that tomorrow night. And but I was feeling bad, just that bad about wearing something so modern until I found out that Dr. George Bell no longer has a flip phone. He has a smartphone. Then it was like, he better never give me another. In fact, we're going to hold a business meeting right now. All in favor of buying him an ear mic and wearing it at least one time, say aye. All right, so do it. Passed. And take it out of John Connor's salary. And one of our men sent this. Pastor, this joke will help your sermon tonight. Four great religious truths. And then we're going to the house. Number one, Muslims do not recognize Jews as God's chosen people. Two, Jews do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Three, Protestants do not recognize the Pope as the leader of the Christian world. Four, Baptists do not recognize each other at the movie house. And so I thought I would give you those four great religious truths. And so I'm going to turn my phone off. Just in case Brother Bell wants to call me on his smartphone. But somebody's got to educate him how delicate these things are, right? I mean, remember that old flip commando phone that he had that, you know, he didn't need a gun. He just threw it at people. I mean, that thing was tough. So today we're sitting. You got it with you on the platform? Oh, no. Hey, I got one better than that. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's take a selfie. Yes. And I'm so posting that on the George Bell New Social Networking. Are you ready? It's called Chisel and Stone. And but somebody's got to teach this, Brother Bell, that you don't slam it down. I mean, today at lunch, I'm not going to do it on mine. He was just like, and I was like, Brother Bell, that screen will crack. Don't do that. And he goes, well, I thought that was what that little rubber thing was for around there. No, it does not work that way. And so halfway through, somebody call him to see if it's on silent. And because he hasn't figured out. you've heard of the Lord coming back the end times. In the last days, there will be old men with new phones, and I think I just called him old. I am so sorry. And Miss Sarah, thank you very much. Did you make these for me? These are great. They're magnets with pictures of all the speakers. Did you get yours? All the speakers and Brother Jenkins thought they were. Never mind. And so thank you very much for that. And then Jordan and Abby, thank you for the cufflinks. I'll sell them on eBay. And I'm kidding. I'll put those right there. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to get out of the way, if you don't mind. Romans chapter 5. And let me begin by saying thank you for allowing me to be here. And I was reminiscing today. I was looking back over all my sermons that I've preached here at Anchor Baptist Church. And Brother Bell, this is the 55th time that I have come from behind this pulpit. And you took a chance on me 22 years ago when I was just a punk kid. And I appreciate that. And it's been a friendship between the families for just a very, very long time. And so we see each other at conferences. The only reason that I like Brother and Miss Bell is because they always get the best seats in the house and I don't have to show up early. And so I always bum a ride with them. So Romans chapter 5, if you will. And thank you for the room. Man, that was great. The pool's great. I had to kick all the Geritol women out, but that was a great pool. And so I'm just kidding. Some of y'all looking at me like, really? And because you know how the fundamental independent Baptist preacher swims in an overcoat. And I thought it was funny. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to pray, if you don't mind, and we're going to get right into this. Well, let's stand and we'll read Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through verse number 21. Romans 5, 12 through verse number 21. And I want to get done to, and you hear preachers say this all the time, but it is very true. I'm anxious to get preached at. Last night was good, and this morning was good, and tonight's going to be even better. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now let your mind get into this. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Correct. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, I love that, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You better be thankful for the words found in this book right here, because it literally clarifies your state. Amen. Praise God. Look at this. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's sin, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the disobedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, and this is our text verse tonight, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to preach tonight on this subject, the truth behind grace. Can I tell you that this type of church is very rare? Our type of churches are fast passing off the scene, and that is sad. Everybody is shifting to a grace-based church, and they think that that means no boundaries. They think that that means no regulations. They think that means you can do anything you want to do, live any way you want to live. And what's really sad is that it's not the Mormons that are hurting us, and it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses that are hurting us. It's the liberal across town or the liberal someplace else that when the ship gets a little bit rocky, that all of a sudden we're like, well, we just want to find someplace that really is more about grace. Now, please listen to me. There's a truth here behind grace. And I preached this to our people back in the month of May. And I thought to myself after I was done, I wonder if they really realize how fortunate they are to have this kind of church. When you go on vacation, you're going to be shocked this summer that there's just not these kind of churches out there all over the place. And I think it's because we don't realize how safe of a place this is. This is a safe haven. And this place we can raise our kids. And I love being here at Anchor. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that my words would be very much succinct, Holy Spirit, with what you want done. I ask that you would help me to kind of give the dear people, a truth from your word that I hope will help them realize that every Sunday they meet here at the house of God, every Sunday they meet at their church, that they would realize this is not small business, this is big business, and that, Lord, if all of us would just understand what you did when you gave us a church to attend, when you gave us the word of God to listen to and to guide us. And Lord, I pray that you help us now. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know it's a sad day that we live in when people judge the sermons by the text that is announced? You let the preacher announce he's preaching from Malachi chapter 3. And everybody, oh, let's put him in that box. He's after money. You let somebody, it's almost like when they announce the text John 3:16. It's almost like, okay, we can go to sleep. We got this one down. We trust them with this verse. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, it's almost like, okay, there's really nothing going to happen during this sermon because it's how controversial could the man of God be out of Genesis chapter 1? A lot. But when you get to Romans chapter 5 and you start talking about sin and you start talking about disobedience, there's certain key words that people start going, oh my goodness. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a basic distrust with the Bible and its standards. There's a basic distrust by people that are looking for something softer rather than looking for the Holy Ghost of God just to have his way in everything that we do. If Anchor Baptist Church and the church you attend is going to be in existence for your children and your grandchildren, then you have to be very understanding that there is a reason why we don't buy into a softer religion, but we're after a more balanced religion that doesn't forsake the preaching against sin because we shouldn't do that anymore, but yet we're not going to forsake the softness of grace, and those two bookends is what's going to help us survive life. You can't be unbalanced. You can't be seesawed up this way to where it's all about grace, or seesawed up this way to where it's all about preaching about sin. You got to be able to bring that seesaw back here to where everybody coming in understands we're going to preach the word and we are going to let the word do what it wants to do. I wrote this down. My cry as a preacher cannot be grace alone, but grace alongside of. Now that's very important. And let me explain it. According to our text, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, this is not going to take long unless you're an Ohio State fan, then I may have to double it for understanding's sake. How was that? I'm going to preach the truth whether y'all like it or not. So according to our text, I want you to look at it, Romans 5, 20. I'm going to read it. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm going to exegete it. Are you ready? Here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. Get ready. Here we go. You cannot have grace abounding unless you have sin abounding. You never have sin abounding unless the law tells you you're a sinner.
That's true.
Now listen to me. You cannot have grace abounding unless somebody's messing up big time. Nobody ever knows they're messing up big time until the law tells you you're messing up big time. Let me put it this way. You can't get a hug until you break the window, and you never knew breaking the window was wrong until mama said, don't break the window. So a church or any Christian that wants a grace-filled life, sin preaching is a prerequisite to having a grace-filled life. There's no reason for grace unless you've come face-to-face with your failings. I think the master asked this question, who loves me more, the one that was forgiven of little sin or the one who was forgiven of much sin? And the follower answered the master this way, well, Lord, of course, those who you're forgiven much. Now, does that mean that if you only commit two sins that you don't love the Lord as much? No. It's when you realize the depth of your sin and what your sin has done to the Savior. That's what makes you enjoy grace-filled singing and grace-filled preaching, because you realize at the end of the day, I'm a dirt bag and I deserve to go to hell. And without Jesus Christ telling me I'm a sinner, I never would know grace. That is why the average charismatic church cannot enjoy this kind of singing, because they only are focusing on grace. You know what worship is? A one-way conversation with the Lord. The average worship service that has all these ditties with seven words 11 times and a 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee on the side while you're singing it, and the only reason that they have this is because it's always one way. Oh, but my friend, when you get into the perfect law of liberty and you see that you're messed up, when you see you're messed up, and that without him, you're going nowhere. And until you've come face to face with the depravity of who you are, that's why, listen to very closely, the reason you can't get excited about the things of God is because you've not yet come face to face with who you are in front of God. And that's why they have to add a drum set, and that's why they have to add the lights being dim, and that's why they have to add something to get the flesh excited rather than the soul excited. Hey, let me tell you something. That song that the choir sang when they got cranked up was just as powerful as what that quartet sang when it started out a cappella. And I'm going to tell you why. Because grace always is at the end of when you know who you are. So think about it. You can't have grace abounding if there hadn't been sin abounding. And there can't be sin abounding until the law tells you you sinned. And so we live in a society that says, I don't think you need to be that strict and that straight down the line on what the Bible says. And can't we kind of soften it up a little bit? It's amazing to me that when you change the version, you change the lifestyle. When you change the book, you now get an easier book, which means you have a more liberal lifestyle, which means you have less of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than what you have to have to make it. That's why the average liberal church is not a place you can grow old in or raise your children in. It's only a place that makes you temporarily feel good. And then when you get full of it, then you're like, there's got to be something more. I think we're choosing our churches based on how good we feel rather than on how convicted we are.
Amen.
I like what Brother Jenkins said this morning. Can I quote myself again? I thought that was pretty cool.
That's good.
I said, man, that man's pretty secure right there. He quoted himself. He said, can I quote myself? I have said this all over the country. Can I quote myself? Well, I'm going to tell you right this. I've only said this two times, so I'm going to quote myself a third time. I think we're choosing our churches based on how good we feel rather than on how convicted we are. If you walk out and there's no piercing of the Word of God, because I think that's what it said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing. So if you cannot walk out of a church service saying, oh my, let me show you the pierce hole, then we'll never have grace. We'll never experience the depth of love of grace until somebody says, can I tell you what the law says about our life? Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So it's impossible to have grace alone. Grace is a result of sin. Sin is a result of offending. Offending is a result of the law. You have to have the law. That's very crazy here. Are you ready? The law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the law is not carried by itself. So what does it say the first to enter in on a subject? I want you to notice your word right there. Moreover, the law did what? Entered. So the law is the first thing on the scene in your life. Yes. Right. No. I want grace the first thing on the scene. You can't have grace until you're shown where you messed up. Yes. And I think we live in a society where we're handling people too with kid gloves rather than saying, can I just tell you what the law says and what the book says? And then we'll go from there. The difference is this. At the end of the law is not a rope to hang you on. And at the end of the law is not a tomb to put you in. At the end of the law is a Savior that will help you with whatever the law showed you. The reason our people are not getting any better in our average church is because the man of God is scared to tell you what the law says.
That's good.
But I don't want to be party to a church that's just all about the law with never the end. Do you know it's just as unjust to preach grace alone as it is to preach law alone? If we were in the Old Testament, then we'd have to stop at the law. But we are, praise God, man. Did you read it? By one man and by one man. I love that. The offense, the solution.
Yeah. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just coming your way to tell you this. Stop judging the church you're going to attend based on how grace-filled it is and start judging it on how balanced it is. Amen. Is the preacher going to preach the book to me, or is he just going to philosophize with me?
Amen.
I think everybody's sick and tired of what man's opinion is and how do you look at it and how to, this is how I see it. Let me tell you something. It may be exciting with the antics, but brother, let me tell you something. It runs out after the voice stops because everybody must understand it's the law. It's what God says that should and should not happen. Oh, let me tell you something. If you want to start entering into a grace-filled life, then get closer to the Word so the Word can tell you where you're messing up so you can go to your knees and get right with an almighty God and that you can realize how merciful God's been to you and how gracious God's been to you, and then you'll get up and walk in grace. But if you're not going to the law and you never know where you mess up, then you're not truly walking in grace. You're walking in false grace. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a happy man. I love life. I have no idea what's going to happen next. I really don't. That's the great thing about preaching. That's the great thing about being in the Christian life. But I can tell you this, it doesn't matter. Because every day I go to the Word, I don't have to know what's going to happen next. I know who is going to happen next. Let me give you several things and I'm going to sit down. Number one, can I tell you this? The more we know, the more we offend. The more you know, the more you offend. Isn't that what the Word said? What shall we say then? Verse number 7, Romans 7:7. Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the what? Law. For had I not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, please listen to me. The beautiful thing about this is that for the new believer, this is gold. For the old believer, this is an irritation. There are literally people I'm dealing with right now that have just gotten saved, Brother Jenkins. I think of a couple I pick up every Sunday morning. They're my Timothys. She's 7, 8 months pregnant. Just got saved. Baptized both of them 3, 4 weeks ago. And I said, you're stuck with me. That baby's name's going to be Bob. I mean, she's big old fat. And she gets in the back and said, ma'am, you've got to stop eating watermelon. And she said, his name's Jasmine. Walter's sitting in the front. He said, oh. And I said, Walter, how many children is this? He goes, number 9. 9? Yep, by 5 different. He's proud of it. By 5 different women. 9. I said, is this the last one? Last one with her. Walter. I know, Pastor. I was just kidding. Don't do that to me, Walter. But let me tell you something. They're as new believers as they get. But when they get in that car, let me tell you something. They smell like cigarette. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I know pastors shouldn't be picking up people that smell that way. They're just getting their life back together, gotten baptized, been learning about the Word. And let me tell you something. They are enjoying life. On the way to Sunday school 2 weeks ago, he goes, hey, Pastor, you know that Bible that you told me to read? And I start reading down through there. Do you know I'm not supposed to touch another woman? That I'm not married to? And I was like, yeah. He goes, whoa. Jasmine in the back goes, I like that verse. Hold it. That's what the Word's job is. But you know why you have a tough time with the Word? Because the Word told you something 20 years ago you weren't supposed to do. The more we know, the more we offend. Like, good night. God grief. Hope and James. Another couple I've been working on. I passed them off to somebody else because they needed somebody to work on. And so I gave them Hope and James. And James kind of went through a tough time. So he got him a fifth of liquor. And he hadn't drank in like 4 months since he's been saved. But he had it. Well, a couple I gave them to, he walked around that corner. James was having a bad day. He had that liquor. And the way the guy was explaining to me, he said, Pastor, I walked around. I said, James. Back away from the liquor. And he said, Pastor, the only thing I could think of, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And James looked at him and said, is that Bible? He said, that's Bible. In the name of Jesus. James gets up from the liquor. And this guy's telling me, he backs away from the liquor. And he says, really says it in the Bible. He says, says it in the Bible. How do we know that we shouldn't covet and lust except the word told us? Please listen to me. Don't tie the preacher's hands by telling him, well, if you would stick to only parts of the text, we'd be okay. You ought to come in every morning like you go into the bathroom every morning with the expectation of your hair being messed up and with the expectation of fixing it by the time you leave. Most people come into church and say, don't tell me what's wrong with me because ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, then take the same, be consistent, and walk out of the house and never look in the mirror. The more we know, the more we offend. Number two, I'm having too good of a time. The more we offend, the more we have to work on. So don't tell me that that sermon didn't apply to me. Come on now. Don't tell me that, well, you know, I got everything. Why do I really need church? Are you serious? The more you know, the more you got to work on. And by the way, that kind of keeps you humble. That keeps you humble. That way you're not walking around saying, well, what about him and what about her? How come they don't? Let me tell you something. Stop that kind of stuff and let the word do what it's supposed to do. When the law enters, it's going to tell you that here's what you need to change on. Here's what you got to work. Number three, grace gives us time to fix the offenses. That's why I'm not panicked. I'm not panicked. Whenever I stand up and preach and somebody's not what they need to be, we live in such a microwave generation. That you wear out your microwaves before you wear out your stove. You know, I was talking to a couple the other day, and it was like, he was like, I'm going to be a man. I'm going to put my foot down. And I was like, really? What are you going to do? We're not having a microwave in my house. She's going to do everything by that stove. So I looked at her. I said, ma'am, do you even know how to run a stove? She said, we're a microwave family. Growing up, I have no idea what that thing is. And so after 6 months of mass, I said, how's it going? He said, terrible. We go out to eat a lot. And I was like, get a microwave, man. Get a microwave. Can I tell you something? We're so ink drunk. They've been saved 1 week. How come they're not? Really? You know what grace says? All right. I showed you what's wrong. Now go fix it. And I'll give you time to fix it. I want you to think what a beautiful system God's given us. But please don't take away the word in your life. Because you have to know where you're offending. Listen, you have to know, or you won't know how to fix. Do you know pain is a good thing? Pain tells you there's something wrong. The rattling on the car. Some of you are like, well, I don't want to hear that, so I'm going to turn up the music. Well, go ahead and turn up the music, but she's still rattling. Well, you know, I hear something wrong in the house, but I just don't want to, I'm just saying, ignore, turn up the TV. And that's what religion's doing nowadays. They're turning up the grace because they don't want any law. Whereas, my friend, you have to know you're wrong. How do you waller in grace unless you know I didn't deserve? I don't deserve what you just gave me. I don't deserve. Mercy is me walking up to Brother Clay. I love this illustration. I thought about acting it out. Me walking up to Brother Clay and slapping the snot out of him. Mercy is him saying, I'm not going to call the police on you. That's mercy. He didn't take me to test. He could have. You know what grace is? Grace is him reaching in his pocket and going, and because you slapped me, I'm going to give you $20. You know what mercy is? God going, I'm not going to send you to hell, but I want to give you my son. Amen. Amen. Who can't love a God like that? And let me tell you something. That's how come I've stayed in this thing. I'm 48 years of age. That's why I love church. I couldn't think of going to any other kind of church. You want to know why? Because preacher, the last thing I want to tell you is this. Let the word expose sin and apply grace. Just let the word do its work. There is no way the average preacher knows everything going on in your life. That's crazy. And by the way, you don't know this about us. We don't want to know what's going on in your life. We really don't. You know, somebody said the other day, I got to confess to you. Please don't. Please don't. Because right now I'm having a great day. And right now you're having a great day. And right now I really think you're good. So use your priesthood of the believer and go to your car and talk to God. And they looked at me and said, really? I said, yes. Like, walk out. Like, don't tell me. But Pastor, I think you need to know. No. Do not say those words. I do not need to know. But Pastor, I really, no, please. Don't tell me those words. Until I see your paper on the front page of the paper, picture on the front page of the paper, don't tell me those words. Do you know what you did wrong? Well, yes. Good. Go take care of it. Amen. Just go take care of it. Man, I heard a preacher the other day say, I want to know everything my church members do wrong. I said, you're a fool in the name of Jesus. You're a fool. It's like, good night, please. Please, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The reason we don't love deeply is because I don't think we've come face to face with who we are. And you can't come face to face with who you are in grace. You come face to face with who you are with the law. Do you know what I love about Christ? He came to fulfill, listen to this, everything you and I are not in the law, he is. Every place we can't get because we've offended, he can get. The little phrase right there, Brother Bell, where it says we are saved by his life. His life. Think about that. Where you and I don't live up to the law, he did. He did. So we don't even have to say a word. Just keep your mouth shut and live in him. Amen. We're very fortunate. We are. Do you know there's a reason why people go to church and they, these grace-filled churches where the preacher always gets up and philosophizes and never takes the law. And by the way, can I tell you? The law can become very deadly if it's not used rightly. But my job is not to play Holy Spirit. My job is just to say, here's the word. Here's the word. And if you failed at this, here's the comb and the hairspray. Here's the soap and the washcloth. I'm going to leave you alone with your Savior. And y'all take care of what you need to take care of. You see, that's my job. That's your job. Just don't fight it. Don't fight it. You say, well, I just feel bad. Good. That means you're on your way to feeling good. Listen to me. You'll never appreciate grace until the law said you blew it. And until Christ says, but I'm your solution. Grace abounds because sin abounds. Sin abounds because the offense abounds. The offense abounds because the law told us we were sinners. Hey, my favorite verse, and I'll end with this. My favorite verse in the Bible ranks number one. It's not my life verse, it's my favorite verse, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you have any idea what that means? I think about this so often. It means he had the ability to look down at everything we would do. And he said this, I want them. I want them to be mine. But I'll tell you something even bigger than that to me. After we became his and became part of the family, he said, and even after they become part of the family, they're going to disappoint me, but I still want them. That's how much he loves us. You know, the only reason that I lied on with this, the only reason that we look good as kids growing up is because of mama. Y'all ever a mom like that? She licked that hand. And then she, man, when I was 16, come here, boy. No, ma'am. So one day I thought I'd teach her, said, mama, come here. No, doesn't work the other way. And, you know, the only reason you and I look good is because we had to look bad at some point and somebody had to fix how we looked so that when we stepped out here, we look good. And the only reason you and I spiritually look good is because of a God who said, come here, come here, come here. Let me show you what's wrong. Let me clean it up. And then you go out there and do what you need to do in life. God bless you. Been kind. Thank you. Amen.